Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Podcast, your weekly source for women's American football, insights, game recaps, and NFL news weekly. Subscribe on Apple and iHeart.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Welcome guys to the Gridiron Blitz, 426 in the house, Oscar Lopez. We're going to be talking to two amazing quarterbacks today, overseas quarterback from Mexico, Maritza Jaramillo out of the WFL Mexico, which the season will kick off on the 28th with the V-Queens Saltillo. We're also going to be diving into the D3 playoffs, and who better to dive into than New York Knockout quarterback phenom Eden Messimer. She'll be here in about 40 minutes. We're going to talk everything in terms of the D3, the knockout from 2021 playoff berth, and also looking for another playoff berth in 2022 to go to the road to Canton to be there at the final for the D3 championship. So pretty awesome. And about 40 minutes or so, we'll have Eden in here to talk about that. Maritza will be here in about 15 minutes. But a lot of things to talk about, WFA related. You know, shout out to Adrian Smith of the Boston Renegades, which broke the record for most receiving yards all time in the WFA, surpassing Jennifer Gray, former Chicago Force, all-world wide receiver as well, multi-time champion as well. So it was 5,094 yards so far in her career. Still has a long way to go to add to that. Now she is the all-time receivers, all-time receiving yards record holder, and that would be Adrian Smith of the Boston Renegades. So we'll be talking to Adrian in a couple of weeks here, kind of get a reflect on that as well, and then talk about, you know, going for another championship here as Boston already literally secure, getting ready for the first round of the playoffs as they take care of business, 60-28 versus the DC Divas, and that's where the record was actually attained. Shout out to Revere TV, Luis Sanchez out there making the call as well on Revere TV. So what a milestone for Adrian Smith, and what a deserving honor for her. And she is now the WFA all-time receiving yard record holder. So obviously she's going to add a lot to that in the coming seasons as well, unless she retires early, which I highly doubt that. But other than that, shout out to Adrian Smith of the Boston Renegades for that achievement. So it was really big news there. You go to the hub, facebook.com/GridironBeauties. That is the place to be. The best network on the planet covering women's American football globally is at the hub. Passionate people that basically all over the globe bring us articles, links, everything that's happening in the sport to the front and center right there at the hub. Get it all at one place. So don't forget to like us, subscribe, and especially share our stuff with your friends and family. So let them know about the sport, the amazing athletes that play this sport, and also amazing milestones like Adrian Smith's receiving record in the WFA. So shout out to everybody that supports us, that also follows us. I think almost 9,000 strong in terms of, I believe, likes and follows, 20K in terms of reach. So awesome job from everybody helping us out. And we cover it all. And we could not do it without everybody networking with us, because that's what it is, support and everything else that happens. So go to the hub at facebook.com/GridironBeauties. That is the place to be. All right, guys, a lot of things happening at the hub. If you're there already, FX Mexico 11's championship happened at the hub. Maya's upset 12-6 against Pumitas. Nobody saw that coming except for the Maya's, of course. Shout out to Sofia Vence and Danny Mitchell there, so they can, they just couldn't get the win. So I'm wondering if, you know, what's going to happen, for next year. But other than that, they did not get the win. And so it becomes a situation where Maya's just a little stronger club on that day. You get the live stream right there from Las Parrillas, Mexico. So really interesting there at this point. You can also get the live stream right there. Also, I think Tercer Cuarto had some of the updates as well. NWFL Week 2 by Sports Talk. You got WFA Week 7, Nevada game YouTube, which is Cali War edges Nevada 20-12 in a good matchup there as well. Also have New York Wolves as well against Tri-Wolves. You also have Rivera against the Boston Renegades taking on the DC Divas. So it's going to be great. Let me just respond here. I got a little message here. There we go. So we're good. So it was a big weekend for all the action that's happening at WFA as well. And then the road to Canton unveil after week 8. We will look forward to that. We're going to talk WNFC playoff picture with Mark Simone here in the second hour as we go into the 1 hour recap of everything women's football in the second hour, as he'll be coming in here in about an hour. We're going to break down everything that's happening in terms of the WFA picture with D3, including also the WNFC action that just happened this past weekend. So that's awesome. There we go. And let me just respond here. Sometimes you're in the middle of this, and since we're live, things get a little bit, you know, out of place. So it's good to go. It was great action all over the globe, including the Spanish championship over in Spain. Barbera rookies win the 9x9 championship against Barcelona 31-8. Shout out to Monica Rafikas, the MVP there for the matchup. And also Najee Harris also showed up at the Pittsburgh Passion game, which is really interesting. Against the Detroit Venom, they do lose the game 28-19 against Detroit, but they did show up there as well. In the second hour, we're going to be talking about two teams that are obviously been announced. Gridiron Britain announced their team, 60-man squad, plus Football Canada also announced their team, and I think it's also a 50-plus roster right now with alternates. So it should be interesting to see how that goes. We'll see how the roster reflects on that, but we'll dive into it in a minute. Let's see here, my notes. We'll do the rundown right now. We're going to do the rundown right now in terms of the WFA and the rundown. Like I said, I mentioned Cali War 20-12, taking down Nevada. Nevada literally finishes their season here. They're going to play pretty much like somewhat of a scrimmage game against the Wadatag Warriors. You also have the Pioneers 22-14. Against Seattle as well. And then you have Derby City taking down Columbus Chaos 16-14. The knockout 55-6, really good win for them. We're going to be talking to Eden here in a couple of minutes about that matchup. Also at Boston 60-28 against the Divas. Houston Energy 42-13 against the Dallas Elite Mustangs. Wave Runners rebound 40-6 against North Carolina Fierce. The Passion fall 28-19 against Detroit. You had Grand Rapids 49-0 against Midwest Mountain. And then Jacksonville 26-0 against Gulf Coast. Arlington gets a forfeit by Houston. There's the win. Max Nebraska Valkyries 21-6 take down Iowa, second time in the season. So Iowa, one of the best teams last year in terms of the D3 picture, now at 3-3 at 500, so kind of a situation where they're going to make it or not. It was Maine taking down Northern Connecticut Nightmare 50-0. The Slam edges Minnesota 20-18. Once again, I don't know Grace Cooper in the mix. I don't know what's going on there, but Minnesota falls to the Slam. Both teams are 3-2 in that pro division. The Wolves finish off the season strong 41-6 against Tri-State. They're 6-0, undefeated. Now they get ready for the playoffs here. 40 to forfeit by South Carolina. So Richmond gets the win. Virginia Lady Firehawks 5-1 on the season, 59-0. Austin Outlaws 26-12, and then Music City takes down East Tennessee by 2 points, 14-12. So interesting rundown for the WFA. Get all the lowdown WFAProFootball.com. And like I said, we're going to be talking WFA Pro with D2 and D3 over in the second hour as we get Mark Simone in the house so we can dive into the WFA exclusively in terms of the playoffs, which key teams are going to make the playoffs in terms of the Road to Canton. You don't forget to check out the Road to Canton show. That's going to be this week. So, you know, shout out to them. They won a Tally Award for social media video excellence. Shout out to Brian Sweeney, Alex Westad, Emery Hunt, the whole crew on the Road to Canton. So shout out to them for an awesome award, a bronze winner award of the Tully Award. So check it out right there at the Hub, and you got the news right there. So we're going to be going into the huddle here. We're going to be talking to the talented quarterback of the WFL, V Queens, and as they anticipate the start of their 2022 season, May 28th, and that's going to be Maritza Jaramillo here in a second.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Night Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Don't forget, guys, go to Monkey Night Fight. Use the code NJF to get started. NBA playoffs, MMA, PGA in America here. You can get it. Use the code NJF, $5 free play. If you get it right, more or less, $15 on us for that win. So check it out. But NJF is your code. All right. Maritza, ¿cómo estás?
Hola. Buenas tardes. Muy bien. Muchas gracias.
¿Cómo andas hoy en la noche? Muy bien.
Muy bien. Todo bien. Ya lista para mis partidos de práctica que antes de mi partido.
Quería traerte para la entrevista porque va a empezar la temporada aquí en el 28 de mayo. ¿Qué anticipas a la nueva temporada para V-Queen?
El fin de semana iniciamos temporada y pues va a ser un poco complicado porque venimos de un receso de dos años con la pandemia, pero pues hemos estado trabajando muy muy duro, hemos estado muy concentradas y con toda la actitud.
Maritza, ¿qué va a ser de cambios con V-Queens este año? ¿Vas a estar a de mariscal de campo otra vez o han sido cambios para la ofensa?
Estamos tratando de entrar ahí como mariscal de campo también. Tengo un par de compañeras que son nuevas en el equipo, entonces están haciendo ahí los ajustes porque hay muchas niñas nuevas en el equipo tratando de dejar una base sólida para poder llegar al campeonato.
¿Qué difícil ha estado hacer el cambio para poner el roster junto en esta temporada, aparte de no tener la temporada anterior? ¿Estaba más difícil a traer a todas otra vez y en preparación y todo eso?
Sí. Somos aproximadamente entre 8 jugadoras veteranas y todas las demás son nuevas, entonces están tratando de equilibrar un poquito la ofensiva y la defensiva, teniendo pues las jugadoras con un poquito más de experiencia, más fuertes, y pues integrando a las niñas nuevas.
¿Qué dices de la liga? Sí. ¿Qué dices de la liga completamente en este año? ¿Va a estar más entretenimiento en acción? ¿O dices probablemente que hay ciertos equipos que van a tener la misma situación como tú, que tienen rookies, muchos rookies, y va a tener que hacer ajustes entre la temporada, se supone, ¿no?
No se ha visto mucho, la verdad, es de que cada equipo ha tenido su hermeticidad en esto. Yo creo que todos los equipos estamos sufriendo de lo mismo. Creo que va a ser una temporada muy buena porque, pues, como te comienzo, fueron dos años fuera de actividad, entonces todas estamos con la disposición, con las ganas y pues entrenando muy fuerte para volver a retomar esto.
Now, van a jugar a Troyanas, ¿no? Que miré en el schedule, ¿es Troyanas el 28?
Sí, Troyanas de Chihuahua. Pues siempre ha sido un equipo muy fuerte, tiene un físico muy fuerte, muy competitivo. Entonces, pues nos estamos preparando para como los conocemos, ¿no? Como hemos estado jugando con ellas en las temporadas anteriores.
¿Qué les puedes decir a nosotros acá en los Estados Unidos? ¿Qué tenemos que esperar de la temporada? ¿Va a estar intensa la temporada, tú piensas? Porque han tenido ustedes buenos resultados en las temporadas anteriores. ¿El cambio, todo eso que está diciendo, probablemente afecta los ciertos equipos que estaban al tanto en la temporada anterior? ¿O tú piensas que va a ser algo, nuevos equipos que van a venir al frente para visible para la WFL?
Se han integrado un par de equipos nuevos a la liga, vienen de otras ligas y he escuchado que son equipos con un buen nivel de juego en las otras ligas, por eso es que migran a esta para ver más competitividad. Entonces, yo creo que va a estar muy reñido esta temporada. Yo creo que hay mucho talento, son niñas nuevas con ganas de hacer las cosas y con ganas de seguir creciendo deportivamente.
Ya, yeah, Marisa, has estado tú mucho tiempo en Saltillo con el equipo desde que empezó, probablemente, ¿no? Si me dejan tomar mis notas. ¿A cierto punto vas a estar de coach o qué vas a hacer después de algo de retiro? ¿Has pensado retirarte?
Yo creo que no me voy a desaparecer completamente. Si hay alguna oportunidad de apoyar al equipo de otra manera cuando se dé mi retiro, pues yo creo que con mucho gusto lo voy a tomar el cargo, pero no sé, la verdad es de que no tengo idea si pueda ser esta mi última temporada o seguir una más. Todos los años digo lo mismo, pero pues mientras que me permita mi condición física, o sea, yo voy a seguir preparándome y voy a seguir enlistándome para seguir jugando.
No, Marisa, ¿has tenido algo de lesiones severas no has tenido algo mayor en tu carrera?
Sí, tuve unos ligamentos en la rodilla derecha, tuve una cirugía en el 2017 y pues esa temporada estuve fuera, pero me incorporé inmediatamente a la temporada y ahorita estoy bien. Afortunadamente no he tenido lesiones más graves en aquella ocasión.
Marisa, el juego, el estilo de juego es diferente a los 8 arenas o a los 11 tradicional. Esta liga ha sido más visible como la X-League en los Estados Unidos. ¿Qué puedes hablar de la marketing y de todo lo que han hecho ustedes, el esfuerzo para poner esta liga a un punto más alto que las demás que miramos en México?
Principalmente pues el la selección de las jugadoras hacen sus tryouts y la verdad te digo es un deporte ahorita muy muy de moda, las niñas vienen muy competitivas, traen mucho talento. Entonces, yo creo que igual también los directivos de la liga también buscan ese plus de que sea una liga que se trate de de que sí, en verdad, juguemos, y es muy exigente. Entonces, yo creo que eso es lo que le está dando el plus a esta liga, que pues es de las mejores ligas en México, y de las que más se escucha, ¿no?
Sí, lo único recomiendo, porque ustedes han durado mucho tiempo, ya casi 5 o 6 años, y en otras ligas, you know, 1 o 2 temporadas y se deshacen y hacen otras ligas y no hay nada constante, pues, y es, mucha gente piensa que es espectáculo nomás, no es algo de realidad. Entonces ustedes han hecho eso más visible, como te digo, como la liga en los Estados Unidos, la LFL o la X-League, que va a empezar hoy, están más durables sobre los tiempos, pues ya tienen casi 6 temporadas más, ya más visibles, pues ya es algo que los fanáticos pueden atender año a año, ¿ves? Con soporte.
Así es, pues te comento, el presidente de la liga siempre ha estado muy al pendiente al pendiente de las jugadoras. Yo creo que eso también le da confianza a nosotras como jugadoras para seguir en esto. Están los dueños de los equipos también tienen sus reuniones, siempre están en contacto y todo eso. Entonces, realmente el seguimiento es lo que ha hecho que esta liga siga permaneciendo y siga siendo de las mejores del país.
¿Qué vamos a esperar de los B-Queens este 28 que van a abrir contra Troyanas? Ofensivamente estás al de mariscal de campo. ¿Cómo está la línea ofensiva para ti en esta temporada para prepararse para las Troyanas?
La línea ofensiva ahorita, yo creo que más del 50% es son jugadoras nuevas. Yo creo que pero traen toda la disponibilidad, todas las ganas y todo el empuje. Yo creo que vamos a dar un muy buen partido. Bueno, no lo creo, estoy segura de que vamos a dar un muy buen partido, porque las niñas están muy comprometidas y se han estado preparando fuertemente, y la verdad es de que cada entrenamiento entre nosotras mismas nos estamos exigiendo para que a la hora del partido pues no se nos haga complicado.
Maritza, ¿están jugando doble defensa y ofensa todas las chicas, o hay especialidad en el equipo con ciertas jugadoras nomás juegan nomás un lado de la competencia?
Sí, pues por lo que te comenté, somos pocas jugadoras las que nos quedamos con ya experiencia. Y que hemos tenido la oportunidad de jugar en varias posiciones. Entonces seguramente si vayamos a estar dobleteando o estando jugando ofensiva y defensiva algunas jugadoras, no todas. Y yo creo que en algunas jugadas en específico.
Sí, porque la situación va a ser diferente, ¿verdad? Contra ciertos equipos, ¿verdad? Depende del tipo de chicas y la potencia y todo eso. Vas a tener que hacer ajuste al plan, ¿verdad? Para hacer efecto. ¿Quién piensas del schedule? ¿Qué es el equipo que estás mirando que va a estar más difícil que los demás? ¿O qué es rival para ustedes?
Por la experiencia, creo que va a ser... Red Devil, Toluca y Chihuahua van a ser los equipos más complicados que vamos a tener. Falta ver al equipo nuevo que viene de la otra liga que se llama Thunder, que es de Cuernavaca, Morelos. Pues faltaría ver qué tal juegan ellos. No he tenido la oportunidad de verlas jugar. pero lo que he escuchado es que es un equipo bueno.
Vamos a estar al tanto de la temporada, Marisa, para ver cómo se hace hasta el campeonato, esperando que los V-Queens acaben en los playoffs, como normalmente están ustedes casi cada año en los playoffs. O yo digo que ese va a ser, ¿no?
Así es. Sí. Pues por lo pronto el 28 de mayo, el sábado, 8 p.m. México, estaremos jugando y estarán transmitiendo en vivo desde la página de Bitcoin Saltillo.
Solo los live streams, no va a ser cada equipo, ¿verdad? O Facebook Lives, va a ser cierto equipo nomás. Ustedes normalmente lo hacen live, ¿no?
Sí, es live. Por la página de Bitcoin Saltillo en la oficina.
Ok. ¿Va a ser nomás los juegos de casa o va a ser juegos también extranjeros?
Por lo pronto solo juegos de casa.
Juegos de casa, ok. Está bien. ¿Quién va a ser los jugadores que a los nuestros fanáticos? ¿Qué van a hacer? ¿Qué chicas de nombre tenemos que estar al tanto este encuentro contra Troyanas en lado de tu equipo en ofensa o defensa? ¿Qué son los uno o dos nombres que tenemos que poner atención?
Tenemos la corredora de las veteranas, que es Gabriela Mata. Tenemos una nueva jugadora como corredora, que es también muy buena. Se llama Carla de Hoyo. Tenemos a la defensiva Alondra Pérez como esquina en defensivo. Y pues hasta ahorita son los nombres que traigo en mente.
So, tenemos capitanas. ¿Tienes que una en defensa, dos en defensa, dos en ofensa en el equipo?
Sí, yo creo que sí serían dos y dos, dos ofensivas y dos defensivas.
Uh-huh. Okay, está bien. Entonces, el 28, dale saber a los fanáticos cómo se puede, si van a estar en Saltillo, cómo pueden adquirir la información para boletos y estar al tanto en el juego en el estadio, si van a estar localmente.
Tenemos los boletos en taquilla el día del evento. También se pueden adquirir todavía esta semana a través de la página oficial de Bitcoin o bien con en la fanpage de cada jugadora.
All right, esperando buen resultado. Marisa, gracias por hacer tu tiempo. Yo sé que tienes que estar para prácticas, ¿no? Para estar alistándote esta semana. Esperando otra entrevista cuando se acabe la temporada, a ver cómo fue el resultado y cómo estuvo la liga y todo eso en los playoffs. Pero te vamos a estar apoyando semana a semana a ti y a tu equipo para ver cómo se hace la temporada y a ver si llegas otra vez a los playoffs y otra vez a ver si se llena el campeonato, ¿no?
Sí, muchísimas gracias.
All right, Marisa, gracias por el tiempo. Vamos a estar al tanto de la temporada. WFL va a empezar el 28 de mayo contra Troyanas, V-Queens Troyanas. Vamos a estar esperando el live stream. So, muchas buenas noches y gracias por el tiempo otra vez.
Gracias a ustedes. Buenas noches a todos.
Adiós.
Adiós.
All right, guys. That was Maritza Jaramillo. She is the quarterback of the V-Queen Saltillo of the Women's Football League, WFL Mexico, one of the prominent leagues over 6 years running, probably the top league in terms of the X-League style of play. It's literally where a lot of the players are coming from for, like, Austin Sound, where they're going to some of the teams in L.A. Black Storm. And so there's a lot of players already incorporated into the X-League 2022 season that used to play for WFL in Mexico. And so they are getting ready for their matchup. B-Queens Saltillo will debut this coming Saturday, the 28th. They're taking on their rivals from Chihuahua, the Troyanas. Pretty big clash. She just mentioned here that the team is literally 8 veterans. The rest of the squad, which is 30, is all rookies. So she doesn't know what the struggles are going to be like at this point to keep herself upright because she is the quarterback. And there are players that are going to play two-way like they normally do in terms of the indoor style or the X-League style of play. So interesting to see how V-Queen Saltillo, one of the top teams with multiple championships, how they're going to fare this week against Troyanas. And then their schedule is kind of heavy-laden, so they got a couple new teams that were brought into the WFL for this campaign. Looking forward to see how she's going to evolve and make the V-Queens relevant, especially with all the amount of rookies that they have on the team. Also, I asked her if she's going to retire. She said no, not to retirement yet. She does plan to stay with the team if she does retire. She doesn't know in what capacity she's going to be in for the team. She's also excited for the season to come. Because there's a lot of things that are happening with new teams that are added on, so she expects, obviously, great competition. They will have live streams from home. Every home game live streamed will be on the V-Queen Saltillo Facebook page, so you can get to watch the games there via Facebook Live. We'll get all the coverage in terms of the WFL right here and also at the Hub. We'll keep you updated week to week, especially at the Hub, in terms of everything that's happening in the WFL in Mexico. So it's going to kick off the 28th of May, coming up here in about a week. So interesting to see how they're going to fare and how she's going to fare. So I really appreciate her with her time, and really appreciate her coming on and giving us the lowdown on what's happening in the WFL for the 2022 season. All right. If you guys haven't checked out any of our podcasts, I encourage you to go check out our podcast. We have a lot of podcasts, over 400 episodes. Santia Deck, we've interviewed. Also, Sam Gordon. Also, the Talented last podcast, 420 Talented. Adriana Gutierrez was in the house. So we check out that interview there as she gets ready for the WNFC 9-Cup playoffs. Coming up here, San Diego Rebellion in the mix and ready to roll to repeat to get to the runner-up stage. To once again go to the final, to once again represent the West at the 9-Cup in Frisco. So it should be an interesting situation for the San Diego Rebellion. And I believe they're going to be taking on Vegas, so it's an interesting matchup there. But if you missed any of our podcasts, go ahead and subscribe, obviously, first and foremost. You can catch us on any platform, iHeart, Spotify, and Apple preferred. That would be the greatest thing. But you can get us on any platform. And then you can also subscribe to your best episodes. Lindsey Cash, one of our ultimate episodes, also Sam Gordon. So there's a couple episodes that we just had a lot of ratings on, and we really appreciate them coming on and obviously give us a bump, especially on iHeart and Spotify. Really makes a difference for us growing our platform and also bringing attention to the sport of Women's American Football Weekly. The best podcast on the planet that covers Women's American Football, and we've been doing it for over 12 years. So really appreciate you guys supporting us. Also appreciate Zazzle.com for helping us out for almost 9 years and going here. Go check out the No Joke Football Shop at Zazzle.com/CareerandBeauties. Every sale goes towards spotlighting another talent and athlete in our sport. Go to the No Joke Football brand page on Facebook. Check out all our athletes that we are supporting there. And also go to IG, No Joke Football on IG. And if you want to check out our Instagram gallery and stories daily, our stories are blowing up. Thanks, everybody, for checking them out every day. But you can go to the Instagram page on Gridiron Beauties on there, and you can get to see the talented Adrian Smith on her milestone. Also, the Silver Wings championship win from the Elite Monterey League in Mexico. So check out our gallery right there on Instagram, on Gridiron Beauties on Instagram. All right, we're going to be talking to the talented Eden Messer-Morier in a couple minutes. But before that, just a lot of action that's happening in terms of the WFA and the WNFC. So go to WFAProFootball.com, get the lowdown of what's happening there. There's a couple games in Week 8 that I just want to review here before we get into the interview with Eden. So crucial matchups coming up in D2 as well. Austin Atlas 3-2 looking for the playoff run. Baltimore Nighthawks really need to get that win against Columbus so they can stay relevant with the Massey ratings. So what do we got here? Oh, we got Pittsburgh Divas. This is a crucial game for the Divas. Cannot lose. It is a bigger game for Pittsburgh coming off that loss to Detroit. So I think that's a big factor. So that's one of the games that we're going to probably keep an eye on. The other games, Grand Rapids Tidal Waves against Capital City Savages. That should be a good matchup there in the Michigan wing of things. Nevada is basically already done for the season, officially from the WFA because Kern County forfeited. They're going to take on a sort of a scrimmage game against the Wadatec, if I'm pronouncing them right, Warriors of the WTFL, if I'm correct. And then the Valkyries, Nebraska, will be taking on Minnesota. Crucial must win for Minnesota after dropping dropping that game to St. Louis. This is, I think, more of a crucial game for Minnesota than it is for Nebraska. It is a crucial for Nebraska, too, because they go 4-2. They can get up to the Division II playoff picture and obviously set their seedings with Massey a little better. Capital Pioneers looking to finish the season 6-0 undefeated. Last year they did so well as well. This year very, very awesome as well. 5-0, 2-0 at home. They're going to take on Portland Fighting Shockwave this coming week 8. Then you got Rocky Mountain Cruces Regulators. What is the other key? Oh, the key matchups here. St. Louis Slam taking on Derby City. This is a crucial game for St. Louis. They go up 4-2, pretty much guarantees themselves a spot in the West as one of the top teams here. Shout out to them, rebounding versus Minnesota after that loss to Minnesota at Minnesota. So this is a great turnaround game. Derby, not as successful this year as they were last year. A lot of changes to the roster. Things obviously not going as well as they did last year when they were in D3. They're 2-3. If they can get this win, they'd be at 500. Maybe Massey will be kind to them and maybe bump them up a little bit in terms of the rankings. We won't know that. The Inferno will be taking on their rivals from Florida, Jacksonville, 4-1. Tampa Bay taking on Jacksonville. I think the Inferno takes care of business here. They'll be 5-1. They are probably number 2 ranked out of the East at this point. This is a situation where they go every year to the playoffs. They just can't get over the hump. It's a situation where Tampa really needs to make an effort this year to really be relevant in that playoff state. So they should get the win. They're 2-0 away from home. They're 4-1 overall. Should get that win and go 5-1 on the season. And then the Lady Force taking on Tulsa. Tulsa 0-5, kind of scrappy team there, but just hasn't been able to win all season. So OKC, probably the best team in D3 right now, 5-0. They should finish undefeated. And then you got relevance right there in the D3 picture. So if you're looking at the Massey ratings, right now, in terms of the WFA D3 picture, which we said we were going to talk about more often when we are, Grand Rapids is number 1 in terms of Massey, ranked number 1 in terms of the East. Oklahoma City in the West, number 1. Virginia, number 2 in the East. Music City, number 3 in the East. Then you got the New York Knockout, which we're going to talk to Eden Messimer here in a couple minutes. They're ranked, I believe, number 4 in the East. They're 6-0, undefeated on the season. Capital City would be 7th, East Tennessee 8th, and then Arizona out west would be the number 2, I think it's going to be number 1 probably. And then you got Orlando Capital Pioneers. So Arizona and Capital Pioneers on the west coast. The rest of the teams in D3 are literally hammered down on the east coast. So it's going to be a dogfight once again in the east coast to get through. There's just like only a couple teams in terms of the west that are going to be able to battle it out. So crucial, in terms of D3, it's kind of lopsided in a lot of ways because there's not really that many teams on the West. A lot of the teams are, Midwest to East. So interesting to see how that's going to change out in terms of the ratings and stuff like that. Let's go into the next Monkey Knife Fight huddle. Don't forget to go to Monkey Knife Fight. Use the code NJF to get started today. We're going to be talking to the talented phenom, Eden Messimer of the New York Knockouts in a couple minutes here.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes. featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Don't forget, guys, go to Monkey Knife Fight, use the code NJF to get started. $5 free play on us. If you get a more or less win, you're obviously going to earn $15 on us for that $5 free play. So check it out. NJF is your code, monkeyknifefight.com. Use code NJF. Let's bring into the house the quarterback of the New York Knockout, and that would be Eden Messmer in the house. Hi, Eden. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How are we doing today? Are you getting ready here? Almost the end of the season, Eden.
Yes, actually, our regular season ended this past Saturday when we played the Hawks. We got a bye week for our last week of regular season time.
How awesome to have Mai Tais and just lounge for the week to get ready for the playoffs. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely feeling great to give our team just the weekend off, especially being Memorial Day weekend as well.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Tell us a little bit about you in general to the fans that are diving in week to week. We know you guys showed up last year in the playoffs. The result wasn't what you guys wanted. It was an opportunity for you guys to go to Canton, for the road to Canton. What was that like for you at the end of the season there, that last game? Obviously, you didn't pull through. You know, what was going through your head?
Right. So, obviously, given how our regular season turned out and then our long trip to Kentucky, our team was obviously a lot more hopeful and the results didn't end up playing out the way that we wanted them to. But we kind of took that as a way to say, okay, like, this isn't the team that we want to be remembered as. And we took that and we fueled it for this season, and we came back and had yet another undefeated regular season.
Now, I know I will be very frank with you. When the schedule came out, we were like, okay, this is not a competitive schedule for the Knockout, so I'll be the first one to admit. But, you know, you got to play your schedule, right? And that's what's put in front of you. What do you anticipate here once the playoffs seedings are set for you guys? You guys anticipate on the road, at home? Any news on that?
I personally have not heard any news on it whatsoever. I have a feeling that, given that we are third in the league right now, if we do bump up, it's likely we will have an away game, because I doubt we will go from 3-1. But honestly, you never know how things will shake out.
Now, this season has been really interesting for you guys. You guys have somewhat, like you said, on focus to the next level, which is the playoffs. You guys make the playoffs here. Have you stayed pretty clean all season? Have you got hammered, or this offensive line's keeping you all upright?
I would say that all around we've kept up pretty well. We've had a lot of pretty significant injuries with a lot of players on our team. We've had people miss because of just, you know, outside reasons. So that obviously hinders us a little bit. But I think that overall, throughout our depth chart, we have enough skill and we have enough in our team as a whole that we can kind of keep up no matter who's there, which is a really strong suit of our team.
All right, pretty good arm you have. I believe you're ranked number 3 overall in terms of the week 7 stats. Pretty awesome. And you got yourself on the running in terms of the rushing sheet as well. So mobile threat you are. So is this something that you think is going to be a real problem for whoever you face in the first round?
Honestly, I can't necessarily say one way or the other. I believe that myself personally and the rest of my teammates come with multiple different threats and within our skill set. So having that ability to be able to pass and run and read a defense is obviously something that I've been able to use to my advantage, but I also trust my teammates. I trust my line. I trust my skill players, and I also trust my coaches. So I believe that kind of in and out, whether I can put it together myself or whether my teammates are going to be the ones that do it, I have confidence all around that whoever we play, we're going to give them a run for their money.
Now, Eden, you got Jennings and Lang contributing a lot for you guys. Is that your two go-to people that you're more comfortable with at this point in terms of the targets that others will be looking for?
Honestly, Lange was injured this season for a couple of games, and we had a lot of my teammates that stepped up and kind of filled in for that position, which was fantastic. On top of that, I've been working with a lot of girls before the season even started because they knew that they were going to play. I'm friends with a lot of the girls outside of the team, so I honestly have a strong relationship with everyone. So there's no one player that I look to more than the other. Hannah Jennings is obviously, she's just a whole different beast. She's insanely talented. She's one of the best teammates I've ever had. And I honestly just trust her to be there for me and protect me. And she knows that I'm going to do the same. So she definitely is one of my easy go-tos, and we communicate really well on and off the field. So it's definitely a plus having her there.
What do we say about the defense? So far, pretty good leeway for the defense. You got Dawes and Niemek, if I'm correct, pronouncing her name. I think it's Laura Niemek. So, and you guys got Jones as well, Esamea Jones. So what do you say the defense going into this playoff mode? Do you think they're going to be hungry? Are you guys keeping stakes away from them and all that good stuff?
Yeah, we definitely are. We're definitely not feeding them until it's time for us to eat. But I would definitely say our defense has held their own very well, play call-wise, people-wise. I think that we're doing very well all around. We've got a lot of good depth on defense. We can get people breaks when we need to because we really do have all around a pretty strong team. So anyone can really sub in there and get the work in that we need to get in.
All right, you guys kicked off week one against Harrisburg. I think it's a new team. So you guys could put up a 27 points there. Pretty good, you know, a breakout. Then you guys take on Mayhem, which was a little tougher. They scored on you guys at this point. But overall, this defense is only, I think, have only allowed two scores, on average. So they are doing the job.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They've definitely come in clutch a few times in our games. It also calms me down, like, offensively. Like, I can go in knowing that my defense is going to have my back, which is something that not every team can say.
All right, young lady, if nobody knows your age, I know we don't want to give ages, but what is the age of Eden right now in terms of a quarterback? Because I know, you're, what, in your 20s, if I'm correct, without putting the number
out there? Yes, I'm exactly 20 years old.
Okay, great. So, Eden, you know, it's very rare to see a 20-year-old at the helm at quarterback, and especially with a great organization. 2 years in a row here, you're making the playoffs. So what does it say about you and your skill set and your workout and your off-season workout? Because I think you're guiding this team in a very good light two seasons in a row now, and you guys are really ready, I think, this year, more so than last year, like you said, because of the loss there. So what do you say about your play, your gutsy, your skill set and everything else and how you've evolved?
Honestly, last season was my first season ever playing at quarterback, and it was something that I wasn't really expecting. It was kind of thrown at me, not last minute, but for lack of better words, last minute. And I just think that since I've been an athlete my whole life, it was something that I was able to adapt to easily. But more importantly, my family is a football family. My mom has been playing for 20 years. She started this team, and then now we have our different current owners. She's been playing. I played all flag and Pop Warner. My brother plays in college. So it's kind of just, it runs in my family. So I'm able to take the skill set that I have of just athleticism and be able to, like with my experience and my knowledge in football, be able to translate that. But I don't necessarily think that there's anything specifically I'm doing outside of the drills that my coaches give me outside of the season and working with my receivers and things like that, that really made me like a specific quarterback. It kind of just happened.
Nutrition-wise, Eden, what is your diet? A keto diet? Can we dive into that? Or what do you normally, attribute like your nutrition to? Because as a quarterback, you got to have a really good, state of mind to for film study and also to try to get the team rallied and get everybody understanding where their positions are. Just a lot to take in.
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, diet-wise, I don't necessarily do anything specific. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I really don't. I have very few guidelines. I live at home with my mom, given that I'm still in college. So it's basically dining hall food or it's whatever my mom cooks for me. So obviously I'm having balanced meals with protein and vegetables. But other than that, I don't necessarily have a specific diet that I follow.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's good to hear. At least you're not being deprived of good food. That's awesome. And then your mom, kind of a legend in that area because, like you said, she started the team. And that she's able to participate at the age that she's at now, and she's been playing at a high level for a long, long time. So a lot of inspiration, I guess, from her. And this is somewhat what makes you out to be one of those top elite quarterbacks too, gaining, chemistry from your family and obviously your mom right there alongside you.
Yeah, absolutely. And my dad, being the defensive coordinator for our team, also helps, you know, just having my family there at all times. Like, my mom is that person I look to on and off the field always, so.
All right. What do we say about, you know, the midway through the season, you guys put up a 40-burger against Northern Connecticut. You got another 40-burger against Northeast Rutgers. I don't know what those teams, I didn't dive into their, you know, stat sheets and stuff like that. But, I mean, you guys have been able to put a lot of points on the board. So do you feel this is going to be the key for you guys to maintain that level on offense going into the playoffs?
I mean, absolutely, especially in games like that where we were able to score such a higher level of points. I think that it also gave us the ability to go through our depth chart and put people in who mainly are stronger on defense and put them in an offense and vice versa and be able to get people reps. So that way, when life comes up and things do happen, we have that ability to work with people and it doesn't matter who they are. So I feel like that really kind of just proved that no matter where we're playing and who we have, that we do have the opportunity to put up that many points, no matter who it's against.
Now, I know you, when you're getting down to this level at D3, it's Iron Woman football no matter what, right? It's the roster's usually pretty slow down in terms of as the weeks go by, like you said, with injuries, next woman up. What does the roster look like right now given this week off? Do you think everybody's going to be healthy as you get to the first round once you know which opponent you're going to face?
Honestly, our roster right now is only a few different than when we started. We've honestly done very well with who we've been able to keep because our team chemistry and our program has run very well, so we don't lose people due to that, which is fantastic. We have lost a few people this season permanently just due to injuries that happened very early on. We had one that happened in practice, one that happened our first game, and actually one that just happened this past weekend. So other than that, there isn't going to be anyone that we are missing unless, again, life happens. You know what I mean? So I think that going into this, we should have exactly what we expect. Obviously, not everyone is going to be in full health given that we have been playing all season, but hopefully this week off will give us the rest that we need to just come back 100%.
All right, fundraising. Have you guys been fundraising throughout the season just to the fact that you might get to the playoffs, or are we fundraising now until we get the actual matchup in terms of where we're going if we're heading for the road?
Yeah, so honestly, we never really stopped fundraising. We do a lot of different things. Like one of our biggest ones is we do Super Bowl squares. So that's obviously a super popular one, especially because it kind of relates women's football with the NFL. We just did a Dine to Donate fundraiser. We have basket raffles that we do. We've honestly been consistently doing them throughout the season just because obviously you're traveling throughout the whole season. We obviously always have hopes to go to the playoffs and all the way to Canton. So we are expecting that that is something that we will need.
All right. Eden, if you get to Canton, which I know you will, given your chemistry and everything, if you get to Canton, what a moment, right? Last year was a huge moment because it was the first year. But if you get to Canton, you got to witness the first, the six teams that got there and their excitement. It's just going to be another exciting year for the WFA. But, you know, for the knockout in general, coming out of the East, out of New York, of all places, and to arrive in Canton, what would that mean to you?
Honestly, it would mean the world, especially just to my family, my teammates as well. Like we have absolutely put the work in for this. We've done everything that we possibly could do to deserve this. So it's just the moment that we're all looking forward to just step onto that field together and just bring it home for our state, for our families and our friends and our fans.
All right. Is there anything you can tell the fans about you that they don't know? Since we got the interview on like favorite ice cream, favorite movie. What do you do during game film, like popcorn, or what's the routine?
Okay, so I guess one fun fact is I'll go with favorite movies, but it's more of a series. I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. That's definitely the one thing about me. Yeah, huge Harry Potter person.
All right, so Harry Potter is not bad. I think everybody's a fan of that. Like, I'm a Star Wars guy, and I'm probably too old for people to realize it's Star Wars. What's that? But anyways, Harry Potter's cool. So what do you do on downtime? Do you read? Do you work out? I mean, what is the routine that you do like on downtime that when you're not studying film and you're not being the quarterback for the New York Knockout?
Honestly, most of my free time is working and going to school. I am still a full-time student. I just hit summer, so I just finished my junior year at my college. And so, honestly, right now I'm working a full-time job and I'm starting my internship in a week. So I definitely never stop going.
Wow, you're busy, busy. Your schedule's really busy. So, well, I wanted to bring you on because you guys are one of the top teams in the WFAD3, obviously undefeated at 6-0, which is very impressive. I think right behind Oklahoma City and Grand Rapids in general. The Massey, I believe Massey has you down as number six ranked, I believe, overall. So that's very impressive. I don't know how the rankings will go on the East because it's so competitive on the East in terms of the D3 aspect of it. Don't know who's going to, you know, stand out at this point. So I don't know if you guys are going to be headed over to Music City or maybe you guys will be headed over to, Carolina. So it's going to be interesting to see how they decide where you're, Eden, I really appreciate you making the time. Looking forward to where the knockout's going to, do in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure everybody on your team is so excited for the opportunity to try to run the table and get to Canton and maybe punch that 8-0 type of win in Canton. So it would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on this talk show. And I really just hope that our league does give us this chance to make a run to Canton and really win it all.
All right. Did you guys have any website or any Facebook page that the fans can dive in if they want to donate, obviously, to your fundraising for the travel? Because it's going to be, not knowing where you're going, it could get expensive or it could be somewhat okay, but you still need some support. So can you give us the handles that people can dive into your team?
Right. So our Facebook is the NY Knockout Women's Tackle Football Team. So it's just the name of our team. And then our Instagram is not much different. It is, I'm just making sure that it's correct here. It is also the same thing. It is New York Knockout Football.
Okay, New York Knockout Football. Are we on TikTok or we're on Twitter or anything like that?
Twitter and TikTok, I'm pretty sure we are not, but we also obviously have just like our regular website, which is just www.nyknockoutfootball.com.
Okay, cool. So the website, they can donate there. They can direct message on the socials if they want to do a donation. Anything helps, right? $1 to $5 to $10 to $20, whatever anybody wants to pony up. All right. So Eden, I'm really excited for you, excited for your trip. Especially with a two-year quarterback and you're already making this type of impact, trying to get your team to the next level and relevance in terms of a nationwide scope. Shout out to you, shout out to your family, shout out to your coaches, as you said before, and obviously shout out to all the ballers on your squad looking for that road to Canton moment. And I think you guys stay focused, should be able to get to that next stage. So looking forward to see how you guys evolve here in the playoffs.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Stay upright and relax for that 1 week, and we'll see where Massey sets you up. But looking forward to see who's going to be the first-round opponent for you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, guys, there it is. Eden Messimer, the quarterback, the talented quarterback of the New York Knockout. Shadow bringer on here. They were right there at the – just almost there last year. They just couldn't punch it in. They couldn't get over the hump. They could have been one of the first teams to go to Canton. Would have been historic for them for them as a franchise, also for the program that they have there. Her mom's been playing there for a long time, kind of legendary in those realms with her team. She's the one that obviously was the owner of the team, as she mentioned earlier. Just an exciting franchise. Looking forward to her coming out and showing it. I mean, they've been putting up like almost on average 40 points a game. They played their schedule. They did what they have to do. Now it's a matter of Massey taking into account as to where they're going to be headed and who's going to be their opponent. And as she mentioned there, she's ready. They're ready. As soon as they know who the opponent is, I'm pretty sure they're going to be scoping that out and they're going to be ready to go, especially with this 1 week bye. So let's bring in the Oracle of Women's Fall into the conversation here. That would be Mark Simone in the house. Mark, Eden, 20 years old, 2 years as a quarterback. What an impressive career so far for her. And the opportunity for New York to just this year to really amp up and maybe make it to the road to Canton.
Yes, for someone who's only been playing football for a couple of years, she's accomplished quite a bit. I think we know that, you know, she's a very, very key piece to that team. And just from listening to the interview, you know, I understand that she's, very capable of leading that team. She's got the qualities that you need in a quarterback and in a teammate. And, I think she's kind of the heart and soul of that team. She probably makes everybody else on that team better. And, I mean, you know, last year's performance as a team just really put that whole program on the map. And now we're talking about them, you know, going in the playoffs again. We'll have to see where the Masseys go. It's kind of rough in Division III because there's just so many teams and only so many playoff slots. But, the future's definitely bright, though, with the New York knockout.
I don't know what's going to happen with the Massey stuff because, you know, every year we cringe, Mark, especially in D3. I think every team in D3 is cringing right now. Do we get in? Do we not get in? It's like, you know, it's just a wait-and-see game. But New York, obviously she's put them on her shoulders. She knows what the playoffs all about. She's been there last year. Obviously she wants to move forward. And what an impressive season so far. They're averaging at least over 40 points a game. They're holding opponents to almost 6 points a game. So it's a totally different team than last year. So we wish her well. And we're looking forward to see where they're going to go, if they're going to go to the playoffs. Hopefully they do not get snubbed, right? Because that would not be good.
Yeah, that would certainly be very, very disappointing. And, you know, this has been kind of a recurring, you know, problem or experience in the WFA Division III, because there are so many teams. And I posted on my Facebook just a little, just posting a thought about, you know, how the WFA could expand the Division III playoffs to accommodate all the extra teams that are there. For example, they could make, you know, at least one of the games in each conference a play-in, you know, game. You play in to get that playoff spot. Or, you know, maybe Division III has one less week of the regular season to accommodate an extra week of playoffs so that more teams could play. I think that, you know, I think the WFA has to get it figured out, because you don't want to every season, you know, as you alluded to, right, the Massey times, it's chaos. People don't know if they're in or they're not. And if they're not, a lot of the time they don't understand why not. And, you know, there are feelings of, that things are unfair.
I mean, it's like forced blood pressure, and I don't think anybody needs more blood pressure. The season's already kind of boiled over, you know, when you go week to week and you lose hardships and you get to the end, and you play your schedule, and all of a sudden your record doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? If they're 6-0, and a 4-2 team, Massey could consider that they go to the playoffs versus a 6-0 team that does not go to the playoffs. That right there.
Right.
That's the scenario we get into, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like,
that's right.
You know, it's happened in the past, right? It's like a 5-1 or a 4-3 or... Right? 3-3 team gets in, but the 4-1s don't get in, or the 5-1s
right.
don't get in, or whatever.
Right.
For
what it's worth, a lot of the time, you know, as things play out, a lot of the time I think the Masseys are right in terms of figuring out which teams are more competitive than others, but that doesn't make anybody feel any better at the end of it all, right? So hopefully
they'll, I mean, it just makes them drink more. It's like going to the, you're angry, you throw it down, and you're going to go get another beer, you know? I'm just going to just drown myself in alcohol because this is wrong, right?
Right, yeah. It leaves a sour taste.
I'm not recommending that to any coaches. I don't need any coaches to go into, you know, he said, go, you know, get your alcohol if you don't get into the Masseys. That's not what I said. That you could go into a Heineken state, right?
Yep.
And most people have told me Heineken's crap, so... Don't even mention it. All right. You know beer, Mark, more than anybody. You're in Boston, so it would be insulting to have Heineken in Boston. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of useless. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
Heineken,
I'm a wimp.
Is what you sort of like, you fall back on Heineken when you're unsure and you're someplace unfamiliar and you're not really sure of your choices, you know. That's the way I look at Heineken.
As,
sorry for all
as
my
cousin,
Dutch
as my cousin would say,
there,
you might as well, you might as well just have a ginger ale.
Right. You know, I go for cream soda. So, you know me.
Yeah,
no one's reaching for the cream soda.
They're good. You and Sweeney with the 7-Eleven Slurpee.
Right, the slushy or the Slurpee or whatever it is.
I was like, I was in Vegas and he had his little Slurpee when I met him. So he's obviously attached to it. Brian's good. And then, you know, Brian, you know, shout out to Brian since we're talking about him. Road to Camp,
yeah.
With the award. That was awesome. That was like really unexpected. But, you know, shout out to Alex and Emery and himself and the rest of the crew at Road to Canton for what an honor.
Yeah, congratulations. That's it's always nice to, you know, win a prize or, you know, receive that kind of recognition for the work you're doing. And, you know, just like everybody else, you know, nobody's getting paid lots of money to do this. So the recognition is nice. So that's great. Congratulations to the Road to Canton team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, awesome. It's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work to try to put a show together in any environment, even if it's on a low, you know, you would consider a low grade, if you want to say that, right? It's a lot of work to put it in together and put it in the effort,
right.
And especially when you're not getting paid, it's even more work.
Right. We know as well as anybody, you know, we put in quite a lot of work every week to get ready for the show. So, you know, that's several hours that, you know, that you could be making money and you're not. You're doing it for the love of the game, you know?
No. I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, we love the game. We love these players. We love the sport. And all we want to, you know, bring attention to it. And also, hopefully, at one point or another, you know, we're going to be on that, you know, spotlight mentality where everybody knows about it. And that's going to be a great moment. All right, Mark, let's get into it right now. Internationally, I mean, I was on Pumita's supporting Sofia Vences and Danny Michie. And, you know, I said Andrea Romero was going to just ball out, which she did. But, hey, these Mayas, what a time to play your best ball in the final. And, man, they played their best ball in the final. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a shocker. You know, I was also on the Pumita strain. You know, we've been watching them all season. They seemed untouchable. But for what it's worth, you know, earlier in the season, the Mayas played them pretty tough. And ironically or coincidentally, however you want to put it, the score of that regular season game was also 12-6, but in favor of Pumita's. So in the championship game, the Mayas turned the tables on them. 12-6 now in favor of the Mayas.
And ball control, Mark, the Mayas understood ball control and time of possession, and that was their key to their win. They didn't make many mistakes, but they did run, you know, they did control the clock, and that's where Pumita's did not. And so, you know, there's the edge. So Mayas, I mean, I would consider it somewhat of an upset, right? Since the Pumas were, were on the road all year. This is a big upset.
Yeah, I would say I would call it an upset, but they definitely played like champions. Like you said, you know, they controlled the ball and they kept the Pumitas to one score. That's the best case scenario for any team that faces the Pumitas. And yeah, they played like champions. They rocked it.
All right. Like I said, you know, our girls, our No Joke Football athletes, did not get the win. But, you know, shout out to them for their efforts and putting up a good fight. So the champions, Mayas Football Femenil, they are the 11th 2022 champions in FXF Mexico. All right. You get the coverage right there at the hub, courtesy of Las Parrillas MX. Mark, over in Spain, the 99 championship final happened, and obviously it was live streamed there. You can get it to watch it as well. Barbera rookies, Edge, Barcelona. It was basically a battle of three teams, but, you know, the top two teams basically finished where they're at. So 31-8. You know, shout out to Monica Rafikas for the MVP award. But no surprise that obviously Barbera won the championship.
Yeah, they were a very strong team. Congratulations to the rookies. I, as I quipped once before, you know, it's ironic to call them rookies because they definitely are playing like veterans out there.
And then we also have action overseas in the UK. Check it out right there, the NWFL action as well. We had week two action. We had a courtesy of Sports Tact. Also, Sanwell versus Leicester, 28-0, I believe. That was the victory there. And then the recap of everything that's happening there. So you guys check it out right there. You can follow Sports Tank. That's the network partner that's covering the NWFL exclusively all season. So thanks to them for keeping up with everything that's happening in the UK, which is really cool. And then over in the WWCFL, Mark, Lethbridge falls to Edmonton. Week three, that was the only game on the docket for Canada. So interesting, good win by Edmonton. Obviously Lethbridge, not a good win there, but it's going to start heating up here in the last couple, three weeks left in the WCFL. It's going to be, I think it's a 5-week season, right? 6 weeks, 5-week season. I think it's 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks. Yeah. So, interesting to see how week four is going to, you know, start to separate everybody in terms of the playoffs. Saskatoon, obviously the top dog there. In terms of the league, and you also have Regina, and then Manitoba has surprised early on this season, so we'll see if they can keep their momentum going.
Absolutely. You know, I missed last week's game, so I'm going to have to get to the hub to get caught up and get ready for next week because, as you say, things are heating up there, so I got to get to the hub.
You got to get to the hub. Mark, Utah Girls Football League, the varsity and the junior championships happen in a college football stadium, which is really awesome. So shout out to Chris Sacco and Sam Gordon via Under Armour for that opportunity for those girls to spotlight themselves in, I believe, in Utah at the college stadium. That was really awesome.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't think we could have imagined that like just 5 years ago, you know? So a remarkable achievement and quite a milestone.
It was really awesome. And I think, it's come full circle. This league's almost 6 years old now. And so it's kind of a staple league. And we do cover it in terms of the youth scene. And that's one of the biggest leagues we cover besides Manitoba up north, the Manitoba Girls Football League Association, which is the original one. That started this, you know, type of program as well. So check it out right there at the hub. All right. What else international? Sweden. Örebro rebounds, and they get their win, Mark, against Göteborg. So you said it last podcast, big test for Marvels, and obviously they did not get up to par here because they get shut out.
Yeah, it was very, very decisive. Let's it was very decisive, 52-0. And the Black Knights have shown that they are, you know, they're the real deal. The Marvels now have a loss, pretty bad one on their record, even though they have three wins in the win column. I think it's pretty clear that over the course of the season, we can expect to see the Black Knights closer to the top of the standings. And the Marvels, you know, maybe somewhere closer to the middle.
All right, we're going to keep tabs on AFBD in terms of D2 in Germany. There's a couple scores there. Anschen Vampires 46-0 against Molchim Shamrock. We also had, I believe, Cologne Falconets winning their matchup as well. So we'll keep tabs on AFBD week to week and see how the season unfolds there. And then, obviously, we're going to be keeping tabs on the main league, the main top league tier. Once the Berlin Cobras kick off, we'll keep tabs on that. Don't forget, you guys, 17 days till kickoff for X League. So you guys can check it out as well. WFL We just talked to Marissa Jaramillo at the beginning of the hour in the interview in Spanish. WFL will kick off here on the 28th, well, in their season in Mexico for the Pet League as well. Cool story on YouTube. It was spotlighting, I believe, the Nevada Storm. So it was a small city dynasty. It was done pretty nicely there, so you guys can check it out right there. Click the link on the YouTube channel. See here, WFA. We have, results. Recap week two of the Finland Maple League. Mark, so Wolverines kind of impressive now with Nikander back in action, Yarn back in action. Interesting that they are basically starting to separate themselves, and they're being the team that everybody's going to probably have to beat at this point. So interesting how the Wolverines and Bouncers continue without a loss so far in the early season of the Maple League.
Yeah, that's right. They're both 2-0. The Wolverines rolled up a very big win over the Lionesses this past week, and the McKelley Bouncers got one over on the Saints in a fairly closer matchup, 27-14. But, yeah, as you say, even just 2 weeks into the season, we're starting to see some trends here. It is a very long season, though. We've got 8 more weeks to go, and I suppose anything can happen. But it does seem very clear now, certainly, that the Wolverines are kind of back to their usual ways.
Well, we got to give a shout out to Pia Kosinen. She obviously is the longest running quarterback in terms of the Wolverines women's side. So shout out to her, record breaking as well. So she's, you know, put up a lot of yards as well. And so shout out to her for, you know, the commitment she's made to the team. 82-6, Mark. That's tough. 36-6 at halftime. That's, what do you say to your squad at halftime, right? You're just getting your ass
right.
Kicked.
Well, yeah, I mean, it only got worse after that. So that's rough. Definitely a mismatch, but, you know, what can you do? Just, you know, try and do better next time. And you know, in your next game, you know, just try and to have a different result. What can you do?
Oh, yeah. Trojans rebound. Obviously, they rebound. Leah Kozla is back. So the run game was stable, and she's a big X factor. So they take care of business, 32-20 against West Coast Phoenix. So Turku obviously gets the win here and rebounds after that loss in the first week of the season. So interesting to see that. You get the recap right there at the Hub, courtesy of the American Football Finland website. So check it out right there with stats. And it happens in Yankee football, right? So Yankee women's football, you get the coverage right there.
That's right.
All right. Let's see here. Where else we got? We got actual still photos and cool snapshots of the NWFL week. So thanks to Jody Davis Sport Photography. Thank you to Charles, Gary Charles as well, and David Robertson for all the still photos from the British American Football League NWFL action that's happening overseas as well, and all sports photography as well. All right. So pretty cool photos, Mark. Thanks to all those guys, all the photographers that are, you know, doing their part to spotlight the women's game over in the UK. And there's a lot of, there's like almost 5 of them. So we really appreciate them so we can share those.
Yeah, there's no shortage of photos, and that's great. That isn't always the case. So if you get to the Hub, you will get all kinds of photos. You'll be able to see what things are like in the other countries. It's just great. Get to the Hub, Bub.
All right, Mark, let's dive into the WFA here. Let's just dive into it here.
All right.
Everything is happening. D3 primarily, we're looking at Grand Rapids number 1. As I said earlier at the last hour, this is what you call a mess because there's like so many teams on the East Coast and there's only like 2 teams on the West Coast. It's like Capital and Arizona. But everybody else on the East Coast is like – it's like a total dogfight. I don't know. That's just weird.
I guess it's kind of unusual I don't think we typically see that. We usually see something that's at least a little more balanced, but it is very sort of concerning to see, all these East Coast teams like crowding the top of the Massey ratings. And so you know that they're good teams, and like a lot of these teams are going to get left out just because the bracket, you know, there's four on the east side and there's four on the west side. I think the fourth, the fourth seed on the west is like something like it's way down the list. It's like 15 or, 16. So, and it's just wild. It's just completely wild.
All right, if we see Kern County make the playoffs, then we got to really start talking about how this is screwed up.
Yeah, right. They're in a number five position, like, and with another week to play, who knows what could happen? I mean, that's pretty crazy.
They're ranked 17. How can they be ranked 17?
Right.
Forfeit it. You know what I mean? Anyways. Yeah. I can't understand the math. That's all I'm saying. I wasn't ever good at math, and this is worse because I can't even clarify this at all. You know,
I don't know what clarity we're going to get from one more week of games, because then you have to wait another few days for the Massey's to come out, right? Everybody who's fighting to just win the game.
You might as well just throw names in a hat, Mark. Just throw names in a hat. Just pull it out of the hat. Yay! It's like the NBA draft, the lottery draft, just the lottery draft. Just throw everybody in there, see who comes out, and, there's your eight that need to go to the playoffs. It's all fair, right, because it was all swushed and mixed in into the bowl. There was no bias. The numbers didn't really affect you. I don't know what's going on here. It's Grand Rapids, OKC. There's what, knockout at undefeated. Then you got Arizona at 5-1. You got Orlando sneaking in right there at 3-1. Capital Pioneers 5-0. There's a couple of teams 3-3 that might sneak in, and a couple
right.
teams that are 3-2. That kind of deal. But I'm gonna say right now, let's just be official about it, Mark. Someone will be disappointed with a good record.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
You're going to be throwing stuff to the TV, people. You're going to literally be throwing stuff to the TV once that's announced, or to the laptop. Somebody's going to break a screen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah,
there's definitely
not
going to be, one loss teams that aren't getting in. Maybe even an undefeated team. I hate to think of it, but it looks like, it's a possibility. Crazy.
Mark, we don't want to be right, but sometimes
right.
it's just, we come out to be right. And so let's cross your fingers here. Hopefully the team that doesn't make the playoffs is not a Virginia, Oklahoma, Grand Rapids, or New York knockout. So just don't check that on the East, right? Let's just, hopefully that's not one of them. Because I will tell you right now, if I was their owner, I would be appealing big time.
Right. I would have everything prepped right all ahead of time. It's like, so you can send it out 2 minutes after the Massey's come out.
Big.
Crazy.
We're joking, but I'm pretty sure that's what's happening right now. I'm pretty
yeah.
sure these teams, like you said, they've already formatted it to the point where they're just waiting for that as it comes out. It's going officially to Lisa King and Jeff King, right? This is like going right into their inbox.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
Go get a beer before this whole thing happens. Just make sure you're not drunk. Hopefully
right.
drunk. Make sure you're sober somewhat.
Somewhat.
Ben and Jerry's for everybody. Ben and Jerry's for everybody. Just cool down.
Now you're talking.
Right? Ben
now
and Jerry's
talking.
For everybody. What's that? All right, so D3's a mess. Officially, it's what our analysis is right here. Not that we want to be rude or anything, but it is the truth.
But whoever gets in, I think we're going to see something pretty good as far as the playoff goes. So there is that.
Oh,
right.
Hey, you know what? We need content, Mark. You know, of all people, we need content. So it gives us something to talk about on Tuesday. It's going to be nice to talk about on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. All right. Mark, D2, somewhat a lot better. Okay. All right. We got, you know, Mile High Energy on the west, two teams. You got New York, Nebraska on the east, Austin, Baltimore, you know, there's a west, and then there's Derby and Columbus. Okay, it's not so bad. So, you know, top eight teams right now, Columbus, Derby, Baltimore, Austin, Nebraska, Wolves, Houston Energy, and Mile High. Let's just be clear here, because the salty one will mention it more than once, and I'll just be clear. She did say her team was going to be relevant in D2, and her squad was badass. And then so far they're 3-2, and they have been very competitive. So let's just give Mac that. No cheese, Mac, but yes, we'll give you that.
You know, top in the top five in D2, sitting at number four. So she was right. There you go.
Yeah, and I mean, if she was here, you know, she'd be just telling us over and over and over and over. So. Right? I mean, we hear it on our message board already, so now we just have to hear it live, you know, when she comes on. But it's all
that's
love,
why
Mac.
That's
it's all love. Just go eat.
That's
just
why
go
she's
eat,
the
Mac.
Co-host.
And Mark, you know what? Based on the sack total that she's getting right now, I don't think they're feeding her. They're actually starving her, and she's pissed off every game day almost. She's getting angry.
She's got a feast on the field, man, because they're holding back the Snickers, man. They're not allowing the Snickers in the locker room.
Just brutal. But shout out to Mac and the Nebraska Valkyries for an awesome season so far. And they beat Iowa twice, Mark. That's impressive alone right there.
That is.
Twice they beat Iowa.
That's definitely to their credit, and that has a lot to do with their, you know, their ranking here.
I mean, that's an impressive win right there. Mark, what do you say of Smith? I mean, I've known her for a long time. I've interviewed her several times. You know, entrepreneur. What a milestone! What an achievement for her. All world wide receiver, multi-time Olympic champion, and now the WFA all-time receiving yards leader. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things that you know you gotta announce when they happen, because they just don't happen that often, right? And I think in the history of the game, most of the time people don't know that it happens when it happens. Like when Jeanette Gray, another like all-world great wide receiver from the Chicago Force, she was the previous record holder, but I'm not sure that anybody knew that she held that record. Sadly, records like that aren't really kept very well in the stats package deployed by the WFA, and they're kind of hard to look up. So, you know, there had to be a lot of calculation, right? We had to calculate Adrian's yards, Jay Gray's yards, and so we figured out basically who the you know, all the top receivers were in the WFA in terms of receiving yards. And then it was just a matter of seeing if Adrian could catch up, because she was close. And she surpassed Jay Gray this past Saturday when the Boston Renegades played the DC Divas. It was a nice little 5-yard touchdown pass, and she broke the record. Commemorated on the game video. The booth announcer and the broadcast announcers were notified ahead of time that Adrian might be breaking this all-time WFA record that day, and she did. So it really went off pretty well, and it's kept me busy, because I've had to do a lot of writing for the Renegades website and press releases and stuff like that. So but it is a remarkable achievement. It's one that takes years, right?
She's
been in
so
the league
for a long time, and she's been durable for a long time. And she's awesome. She's an awesome individual, a human as well. She's a great ambassador of our sport. Team Milk, also ambassador, and an entrepreneur, you know, as well. So, you know, shout out to her and her achievement. She's very deserving of it. And she's done a great, got a lot of laboring, Mark, right? A lot of laboring and a lot of travel, New York to Boston, a lot sacrificed by her.
Yeah, I mean, she spent so much time on the Bolt bus back and forth from New York City to Boston to be able to continue playing football. And, you know, it definitely helps to have a great quarterback like Cahill throwing the brick to you. So it all adds up in the end, and it's a great achievement.
It was awesome. So you guys get to watch the video that Mark's talking about there, FTF Sports coverage right there. Luis Sanchez on the call, and the great Adrian Smith, now the WFA all-time receiving yards record holder. And more yards to come, Mark, right? More yards to come. A couple more seasons probably.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I haven't heard anything, any indication that anybody is retiring anytime soon. So so hopefully there's more to come.
Yeah, more to come. All right, let's finish up D1 here so we get into the WNFC. So D1, Boston already in the books. They are probably the number one seed, and Massey will not screw that up. I will tell you that right now. Arlington. Right, 5-1, and what do you say of Arlington? Surprising, right? Stay on track. Even Brian Wiggins here from our podcast, if you missed it, Brian Wiggins of the Houston Energy said, hey, this Arlington squad and organization has elevated their game in the last two or three seasons, and he's obviously seen that because they've had competitive battles with the Houston Energy. So there you are, Arlington number two on top right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Coach Wiggins isn't wrong, and I think we've seen that in, you know, following the impact that they have up their game over the last few seasons. And this season, you know, the only loss they have on the books is to Minnesota, and you know, that's nothing to be ashamed about. The impact is definitely taking care of their business, and it's been quite interesting in the West. You know, there are no undefeated teams in the West, so that makes it very interesting, you know. And as it so happens, Arlington is now, you know, the top seed in the American Conference. So there's one more week to play. Arlington doesn't have a game, but we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens in this final week of the WFA regular season and see if Arlington can hold on to their that playoff seed.
All right, so Mark, the Nevada Storm does not have an opponent for this week. Basically, a forfeit. They're going to have a scrimmage, somewhat of a scrimmage. There's their season. So now they're waiting for their seeding. Cali War 5-1. Obviously, two impressive victories against Nevada. That's the 20-12 this past weekend, and obviously they're 54-52 or so win at home. So, you know, Cali War obviously third ranked right now in terms of the Massies. Minnesota, crucial game against St. Louis this week, Mark. I think this is more of a must-win for Minnesota, given that St. Louis is almost eighth. They could bump themselves up at 4-2 if they win, and they would take Minnesota 3-3, potentially maybe, you know, at that point missing. I wouldn't say miss the playoffs, but obviously their chances are going to be a lot harder.
Right. I mean, I feel like St. Louis is kind of surging right now, which is, you know, that's really good to be entering the playoffs and you're starting to get momentum and starting to play your best football. So, you know, with 1 week left there, you know, it's hard to say how far up the chain St. Louis can go, but you know, I definitely feel like they're a threat that cannot, you know, you can't dismiss them. All right, everybody was surprised by Arlington. All right, Cali had like this amazing explosive performance against Nevada and then beat them again in a second time, so I like that's impressive. And it's easy to get distracted and not take notice of what St. Louis is kind of doing right now.
It's going to be tough to see where D.C. lands at this point, going up against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh with George, very efficient. D.C.'s a struggle so far, 2-3. If they go 2-4, they basically get a playoff berth by default, which is kind of weird on the East Coast in that sense, right, to get in there even at 2-3 or 2-4. But given Pittsburgh's in the mix, maybe that'll change. Detroit is amping up their game. So you just said about, you know, St. Louis. They're coming on strong. They just beat Pittsburgh this past week. So we're going to keep tabs on the pro division matchups this coming week. I believe the main game is going to be Minnesota-St. Louis, right, Mark? That's the one we got to keep an eye on for the most part.
I mean, St. Louis is going to be playing Derby City this week.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm misreading it.
Yeah, no, St. Louis and Minnesota played last week, and St. Louis pulled off the win. I think it's becoming pretty clear that, you know, Minnesota without Cooper is they haven't quite figured out how to kind of replace those yards. So it was a very big win. And so Minnesota will be facing Nebraska. Still, these are crucial games in the final week of the season. It almost doesn't matter who your opponent is. But, you know, with St. Louis facing Derby City, who is a pretty tough team, they could get that, you know, that massive bump that we talk about, given the strength of competition. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of an interesting week. I don't know what the game of the week's going to be, but I'm assuming it'll probably be Pittsburgh DC for the fans. I'm assuming that'll probably be the game of the week. I haven't seen the announcement yet, but pretty sure that's going to be the game of the week.
I think that makes the most sense. I mean, historically, they've had amazing games, Pittsburgh and DC, and right now, you know, they're really fighting for position. Pittsburgh's coming off a loss to Detroit, which was kind of surprising to some people. DC, you know, their record they're falling down the ratings, and they want to stop that so that they can ensure themselves a good playoff spot. It's inconceivable to think that DC might not make the playoffs if they take a big loss to Pittsburgh, but I reckon it's possible, you know, because Detroit is kind of, they're looming, right? They're out of playoff position right now, but with 1 week left, a battle between Pittsburgh and DC, you know, it could definitely have a positive outcome for Detroit here.
Yeah, and it could give them a lift, especially with the Massey's, with the strength of schedule and the competition. So that's the picture in the WFA. Go to WFAProFootball.com, get the lowdown there. We're anticipating, like we said, we're actually cringing for the D3 playoff format. So we'll keep tabs on that when it comes out. We're going to be cringing with them anyways, right, Mark? When it comes out, we're like, what? We're going to be on that on
Honestly,
D-Day. So.
When you look back on it, it's kind of the fun thing of following women's football.
It is.
In the moment, maybe it's not so great for everybody, but it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's an annual ritual, right? Just waiting for the Masters to come out.
It's like a stress test.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's going to take a little bit. Calm down. It won't be a painful or anything. No, yeah, right. All right. So check it out, WFAProFootball.com. Get the standings right there. We'll figure out once the Massey's are, done with, which is week 8. Once week 8 is completed, then we're going to obviously, hopefully, we'll get the announcement from the WFA in terms of what the brackets look like. And then we will see the unveil of D3 in terms of who makes it and who doesn't make it. So we'll figure that out. We have another, 2 weeks to figure that out probably. All right, let's go to week 8 in the WNFC, Mark. Alabama gets the job done. We said they could not slide here. Florida, not much of a challenge. So Alabama probably angry for losing to Texas Elite Spartans and that one play that they screwed up, and they probably could have taken them to overtime and maybe given the Spartans their blemish of the year. But you know what? Kay Mitchell and company, they're ready defensive-wise. That's what I'm hearing. Everybody on social media, they're ready. They are ready to roll and looking forward to it. Texas Elite, 21-3. Shout-out to the Kansas City defense, Mark. What a job there. I mean, they held the Spartans to 21 points the whole game. So, you know, shout-out to them.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive defensive performance. And, you know, we've learned over the course of the season that Kansas City's defense is pretty darn good. It gives them a chance to win every game, right? And when you think about the Texas Spartans, you think, well, you know, if we can hold them to 21 points, you know, maybe we've got a shot at this. So, yeah, absolutely. It was a great job by them. Unfortunately, their offense couldn't generate enough points to really make it close. But, you know, it was definitely an impressive performance by the Glory defense.
Now, the game that I was watching was Utah-Oregon. Somewhat disappointed, but also at the same time very excited because it isn't Holly Custis' last game, as we thought maybe it could be. But she gets to play in the playoffs. So shout out to Holly Custis for, you know, getting that win against Oregon on the road.
Yeah, I definitely was favoring the Falcons. I honestly did not expect that it would be, you know, such a decisive win as 37-0. You know, I was thinking it would probably be a closer game and, you know, hoping that it would be more competitive game. But the Falcons definitely just took care of business. Let's just put it that way. And and that's good for them heading into the playoffs, you know. Feeling like they have some momentum to carry them. And we'll see what happens once that playoff game starts.
I know Oregon was shorthanded. You know, they obviously had injuries, so that's also a big factor. And then Verdue, what's her name, the running back, Verdue also went down again. So there was a big factor there. So there's a lot of injuries on the other side that obviously contributed not to a solid ending season and performance. So 37-0, Utah gets the win. Then Vegas, obviously no doubt there. But, you know, shout out to the Phoenix Prowlers for keeping it close and for putting up, you know, the last game of the season, and they really showed, you know, that they could obviously play a little gritty football, 17-6 against the Silver Stars.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're on the Phoenix Prowlers, I mean, this was the closest game you had this season, I believe. And, you know, what a good way to, like, finish up a season, even though you didn't get, you know, get the dub, you know. It was close, so they must have been playing with some heart out there. You know, I don't really know what it's like from the other side, if you're the Silver Stars, how you're feeling. You know, I don't know if they kind of mailed it in, or if there's any problems or injuries. So it does make me ask a few questions.
Yeah, I don't know if they even started everybody. That's my question, too, because it seemed like they were just maybe second strings or giving other people some time. But overall, they did pull the win out, 17-6. And then you also had the Bandits finally putting up a 36-burger against Seattle. But technically, I don't know, Mark, not that impressive because Seattle has given up a lot of points all season. So,
well, I mean, 36 is you know, a lot more than 7 or 9 or you know, 12. So, I think it's, you know, I definitely think it was a good kind of game for the Bandits to have for their last game of the season. You know, no offense, but like it was, you know, kind of an easy win for them. So they could, you know, take the opportunity to work out some kinks, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. The rest of the scores were kind of, we anticipated last week. We said it, right, Mark? We said all this week 8 was just going to be a disaster in terms of blowouts. And it's what it was all the way from the WNFC. I mean, the scoring was all blowouts, right? Top teams just completely demolishing the lower tier teams and the mid tier lower tier teams. And no different. Phoenix 63-0 against Philly, 29-0 San Diego against Los Angeles. So that finishes the season there, 70-7 against Alabama and Florida. So surprising was Kansas City holding the Spartans 21, and then obviously the Prowlers, surprising that they held the Silver Stars at 17. The Panthers obviously took care of business, just a little too late, I think. If they would have maybe won one or two games in the season, they wouldn't have dropped to Kansas City. You know, we would be talking to them about maybe a different scenario in terms of a playoff spot, but they did not make it. So let's dive into the unveil, Mark, that was done for the WNFC this week. So the league rankings, number one ranked Texas Elite Spartans. That was from the WFRC and the coaching's rank. Number two, San Diego Rebellion. Number three, Atlanta Phoenix. Denver gets the 4 nod. Alabama gets the 5th nod. Las Vegas at 6. Kansas City at 7. And Washington at 8. That was the ranking. The actual unveil of the playoff seedings was one of those discussions we had before, right? Based on strength of schedule, was Alabama more deserving of the Washington Prodigy? My thing was yes, because of strength of schedule and competition. Alabama had faced, obviously, Atlanta more than once. Texas also they faced. So I think in that sense, they got it right. If you're the Prodigy, based on record, you're not happy with that.
No, and, this is, the second year in a row now that the Prodigy have just been edged out of the playoffs. So I know they must be feeling very, very disappointed. It really seemed like they were going to get in this year. But, as you said, like, they didn't perform very well facing the Spartans. And I think that kind of tainted some people's image of them. They had been playing very, very well, very dominant before that game. And I think people had very high hopes that they would see a competitive game between Washington and Texas, and it didn't happen. And I think that kind of soured a lot of people on the Prodigy, and they started looking elsewhere for another team that they thought might be better competition.
And then credit the Alabama Fire. They almost beat Texas Elite Spartans, right? Almost beat them. They could have taken them to overtime, and a very competitive game for them. They were obviously competitive against Atlanta as well on the ball with one of the two games. So there was a lot of pluses for Alabama to get the nod, and they do get the nod. Ultimately, the unveil was that, and they do get the nod. So, Mark, the Spartans, Kansas City, you just saw the Spartans. You held them to 21 points. This is a totally different animal. Laura Crouch and company. I think if you're going to beat Texas on a defensive end of things, you have to keep that same energy going. Offensively, can this glory offense show out? That is the question, because we already know what the Spartans can do. Can this Lauren Crouch offensive line continue to score and score equally to a Spartan output? And I don't think they have it.
Yeah, I mean, they have to ball out on offense if they're going to have any shot whatsoever of, beating Texas. Somebody on that offense has to take control of the game. They need to take over and be dominant. And I don't know if that's, Lauren Crouch. I don't know if that means, throwing the football. I don't know if it's Jada Humphrey. I mean, I think if you're Kansas City, you want to control that ball. So getting the running game going seems like a logical way to do it. But it seems to me that that's where Texas is the strongest, is in their run defense. Not that their pass defense is easy to get around by any means, but I just feel like someone on Kansas City's offense has to be the main focus. They need someone to step up.
I agree with that. So that's their only shot. Otherwise, they go home, in and out. They go in and out. And this is an upset mentality. If you're the Kansas City Glory offense, this is your biggest moment against the elite team in the WNFC. This is it right here. I don't know how much more hype can you get, right? This is it. You get the shot. If you can take down the juggernaut, right, David and Goliath is the matchup right here. And you've already seen them last week, and you were able to held them to 21 points. But you know what, Mark? Somebody sent me a message, and I don't think Jenkins has thrown everything at, you know, the kitchen sink out yet, because that is going to be the scary part for the Glory. Because I don't think he put everybody out there.
No doubt.
Right?
I definitely feel like, you know, Texas hasn't shown everything that they've got yet. I also don't think that they expect the need to show it here against Kansas City.
If you get Jarborough back next week, say goodbye to Kansas City early and often. That's brutal. That would be like bringing out the big show from the WWE. Hey, how's it going? Here we go.
Sending the cannonball. You just like tackle the cannonball, you know.
So let's hope that's not the surprise that they're going to give us on that one matchup. Atlanta, Alabama. This is Alabama's moment. Atlanta's played well. Everything's good. This is going to be Alabama's moment, right? Because Alabama, 1 point away from beating the Spartans in the regular season. Can Alabama elevate their game defensively? I think they got it. Offensively, they got to show up like they normally do. And Atlanta is just trending upwards in terms of offense. This is going to be a great clash.
Yeah, this will be a great clash. I am definitely feeling it. These teams are very familiar with each other. They faced each other twice in a regular season. They've just kind of been natural opponents for as long as the teams have kind of been around. And so this is going to be their third clash this season. They say it's very hard to beat the same team three times in one season. So we know, we all know what the task is. We know what the deal is. If you're on the Atlanta Phoenix, right? And that's just to like make history repeat itself. They played them twice, beat them twice, and they just want to, they just want to hit replay and do all the same things that they did in those other games. And they'll probably be all right. Alabama has to change things up a little bit. They can't take the same approach that they've taken against the Phoenix in these two games. They didn't score any points. Now, things are a little different right now because they kind of have gotten their offense going again in some of the other games, in all of the other games that they played other than against Phoenix. So, they got to bring that. They know they can do it. They got to make it happen in this game against this opponent.
Interesting. So San Diego was anticipating somebody else probably, but they get Utah. This is, I think, Gallica's moment. This is the Utah D moment. This is the moment Utah wants to get revenge. And what way to get revenge is to take down the undefeated Rebellion.
Yeah, I mean, very similar to the situation that Kansas City is in. Utah is in this position of facing the top team first. And, when you look at it, just like with Kansas City, if you can just get past this hump, your chances of going to the final actually look, pretty darn good. Like, you're not going to say no, all right? They played, a couple very close games against Denver, if that happens to be their opponent. They're very familiar with Las Vegas. If that happens to be their opponent, they have stuff to work with there if they can get past San Diego. So you're right. This is their moment. They're coming off a big win. Scoring has been kind of a challenge for the Phoenix this year. Their defense has always seemed pretty stout. So if they can get a repeat kind of performance from their defense and just slowing down the rebellion, and then they can keep their offense firing, then, you know, they might have a shot at it.
All right, Mark, we got 5 minutes. Let's finish up here. This is the matchup we wanted. Denver, are you for real? Because Deion Lee and Vegas will have you prove it. This is it. Tagovailoa and company, are you for real? The record is 0-0. That's what Deion's looking at. And Las Vegas Silver Stars, they're looking to move on, Mark. They really want that, the next move. So Denver, this is it. I think it's a bigger test for Denver than anything else.
Yeah, you might be right about that. You know, the Silver Stars were so close last year to getting past San Diego, and it didn't happen. And I feel like they would definitely think it was a step backward if they didn't make it to the conference final. But, you know, they've lost to the Bandits already once this season, and Denver is very tough, especially on defense. This is going to be a great clash. You know, neither team can be thinking about the next week, right? They really have to stay focused on the competition that's right in front of them, because it's no gimme for either side.
This is going to be a defensive win on either side, because offensively, the offenses are not that, you know, stout, and they're not that good overall. They struggle with turnovers. They struggle with penalties and all that other stuff. So this game is going to be won with the defensive play. It's going to be won in the trenches with defense. Who moves on, like you said, is going to be the key here. But what a great matchup. All exciting matchups. Looking forward to this. It's going to be June 9th through the 11th, and it's going to be over in the Pacific Conference Championships in San Diego. The other one's going to be in Neptune Beach in Jacksonville. So I'm just excited to see that. We're going to be talking about that more in the next 2 weeks until we get to the playoff state. We'll dive into some of the stats and some of the players that are going to key pieces for each matchup. But, Mark, exciting here. The West is going to be a dogfight. Everybody hates each other in the West, not so much on the East. I think everybody's looking to take down Texas. That's the theory there. But in the West, everybody knows each other, and everybody just – you know, they're scrappy. They want to get here. And to take down San Diego, Utah really needs to grind really hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think these games are going to be like dogfights. Everybody's going to be fighting and scratching so hard to get that win and move on. So I am looking forward to it. It's going to be, I'll be honest, it's going to be hard to wait. It's going to be hard to wait these couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just going to be hard to wait. We'll dive into the matchups as they come up for the next next weekend. We'll dive into more of the numbers, more of the quarterbacks, the stats for the WNFC matchups, kind of break it down. You can watch all the games on Fire Sports app, Fire Sports Network. Go back and replay every week one through week eight, also the last season as well. So easy access right there. So Fire Sports app right there, WNFCfootball.com. Get all the details right there in terms of the events for the playoffs. All right, Mark, I think it's pretty awesome. Thanks to Marissa Jaramillo of the WFL Big Queens Saltillo coming in here, Eden Messimer of the WFA Knockout. So looking forward to next week, Mark, as we dive in more to the numbers and the stats for each team, especially in the WNFC, and then we'll break down the WFA in terms of what the D3 is going to look like. So thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Oscar. Have a good night.
Have a great night.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Night Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.